Talk Radio.
Host Tamara L. Thank you for tuning in, and I'd like to thank my guests for your well wishes, and thank you for sticking with us as we go through this transition of this weather that seems to be affecting people's health and kind of got to me last week. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again today, the Nationals. This evening we have Valerie Kelly voicing from the Atlanta, Georgia political jurisdiction, whom will discuss money machines at work. Now, the mission of Money Machines at Work, it was founded with the goal and the principle to help bring to life your financial vision for you as well as your family, your kinfolks. Now, this is a subsidiary arm of Kelly Grand Consulting, and their primary focus is helping small business growth and to enlighten those that desire to start a small business. Now, considering that is our new normal with the climate in which we're in today's economy, you know, with loss of jobs and things of that nature, it's really time to stir up that gift within and pull those business ventures out. Now, Kelly Grand Consulting is in place to that will help you reveal those the things that have those business operations that you may need to seriously consider chasing that dream. Now, the average person may find new ways to support themselves and their family. And now in these difficult times, opportunities will arise. Now, the best thing for you to do is just to work on yourself, change your mindset, then work on your business goals. So that's what we're going to get into tonight with Kelly Grand Consulting and Money Machines at Work. Now, with that being said, let me just go ahead and bring on Valerie Kelly this week so we can get this started with Money Machines at Work. Good
Thank
evening,
you,
Valerie.
Tamara. Good evening. Thank you, Tamara.
And how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'd like to thank everyone that's there this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I want to thank you first. I want to thank you for accepting the invitation on Speak to the Nationals and give the opportunity for you to share the information that you know and your business of Money Machines at Work. So let's just talk about that.
Okay, great. Again, I'd just like to thank everybody that's joined us this evening. You know, I'm hoping that everybody gets something out of it. We're going to have questions, you know, throughout and get through the time. But once again, this is a passion of mine. You know, I want to make sure that we all have some sense. I mean, that's how we live. We make money, right? But you want to find out, everybody doesn't know everything, you know, and then you might know a little bit about some things. So basically, let me start real quick about me. Again, my name is Valerie, and I work for a Fortune 500 company for 24 and three quarters years. So by the end of 2016, I was without, you know, my Fortune 500 salary. But in any event, I really looked at it as an opportunity for me to go to the next level and maybe clear up some of my bucket list items, some things that I wanted to do. So, and that's what I did. I started taking classes on financial literacy, you know, any blog I could find, anything I could find, you know, as I did research, like I did, I paid for financial classes. And, you know, it's something I was interested in years ago, probably about 10 years ago, when we had the big the oil spill. Yes, the oil spill. I've been had a portfolio. But one of the things that made me start paying a lot of attention is it was time to reallocate, you know, the things that I had invested in. And I had a financial advisor at the time. You know, he had been handling my stuff for a while. He even got my kids' stuff started back when they were in their preteens. But there was an oil spill. I had some BP. And right away, I said, wait a minute, BP is about to be sued a lot. So I sold it, you know, and at the time, so I went ahead and moved some other things around. I had my professional to look at it. He said, okay, you did a good job. So from then on, for the past 10 years, I've been allocating where my how my money was balanced in my 401k with the job. Some jobs allow you to do that. Some don't. Some have full control over it. So it varies, you know, with the public companies versus the smaller companies. So I took classes. I wanted to become a little bit more literate about it, and I find that I enjoyed it. I found that my money was growing faster. You know, when we leave, there's a lot of us that leave companies and we take our 401ks or whatever, and we, you know, everybody does something different. I reallocated my stuff, moved it here, moved it there, moved it there. I left myself with $30,000. Needless to say, 17, 18, 19, 20, to this year, I've been still living off of that same $30,000. I am not kidding you, because I keep growing it, and I cut it off a little bit to live off of, and I haven't had a job in the past 3 years, and it grows, and I cut off some more, and it grows. So right now, as we speak, that same $30,000 that I had 4 years ago is still worth $60,000. Now, keep in mind, this is only a small portion, you know, of what I started with. But that let me know that this is something that other people need to know. Other people need to know about it. And that's when I decided that I wanted to share, you know, how you can do it. If you're working and you can move your stuff around or start investing, whatever level you at is going to make a difference in your life if that's something that interests you. So one of the first things that we need to do is to transform our thinking about money. And it's a few questions, you know, some of you may be in a position to write them down or not, but you'll see them again. So you need to ask yourself one of the questions. One question is, what is your why? What is your why? Why do you work? What do you do? Are you preparing for retirement, legacy money, or even just role modeling, you know, with your family? Because if you start to do this or it's something that you like to do, it can be a family affair. You know, you can teach your kids, you know, or believe it or not, they'll teach you, you know. So, you know, what is your why? Because, of course, when, you know, you're making a plan, and this is not a hard plan, but it's a big plan, right? So, you know, you want to just draw out what your needs and your wants are. And once you answer those questions, then you can move forward successfully. Now, I do realize that there's probably a lot of you that, you know, already have, you know, financial plans already, you know, in place. But it doesn't hurt to kind of step up your game, you know, do a little bit more, find out a little bit more. It doesn't hurt at all. So the next question, you know, you may want to ask yourself is, do you work for your money or does your money work for you? Okay. Do you desire to have several streams of income? Sounds unusual. I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but it really isn't, you know. Do you desire it? Because you can. Do you believe that you can make money while you're asleep? That happens too. I love to wake up and look at my portfolio. I don't look at it every day and say, oh, wow, okay, I was asleep. And I went up 5%. Would you like to invest in the stock market? Is that something that's of interest to you? Do you believe thinking big will positively affect your financial future? You know, you have goals, you know, big goals. Sometimes they don't always manifest themselves right then and there. But do you believe that if you think about it positively, that it will better your financial future? Now, one thing we don't want to do, and I've heard people do it all the time, and that is speak negatively or feel negative about money. That's not a good thing. Like, for instance, you know, okay, I get paid on Friday, but, oh, it's rent time. Oh, you know, or, you know, oh, I got to pay this bill. You have to have a positive attitude about money, and you know, and that's how money continues to come to you. What do you think are some of the habits of wealthy people? Now, I hope we all don't believe that everybody that's wealthy inherited it, because that's not the case. There's still a lot of people that are making their money, you know, and they have a strategy and a plan, you know, to get themselves to, you know, to be wealthy. I'm not sure what the operational definition of wealthy is. I just know that you know, everybody probably has their own number. Once upon a time, we had $1 million, but that's money, but it's not, it doesn't make you wealthy because you can go through that. So, Tamara, I didn't know if you had any questions for me of the things that I've said so far.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Yes, I was writing down notes, taking notes myself. One of the things I want to kind of set the foundation to is let's talk about money. You know, this song been ringing in my head all day. Who is that? The OJs. You know, money, 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 money. That song just been in my head all day. I guess because I knew I had to do this radio show with you today. Now let's talk about what is money. Money machines at work. Now, you know, throughout philosophy, there's like various schools of thoughts regarding money, from, you know, ancient principles of bartering to land ownership, precious metals such as gold and silver, crystals, herbs, spices, Federal Reserve notes, also called a dollar, and, you know, currently we have Bitcoin. So these are various forms that are classification regarding money. Now, how should one understand these various forms and which to accumulate for generational wealth?
Well, as it relates to that, we're going to have to be aware and go with the flow. And when I say go with the flow, I don't mean, you know, jump into the latest fad or whatever there is. There's no doubt about it. We are going to electronic currency, no doubt about it. You know, it was a few years ago when it first came out. I took a couple of classes in that, too. I bought some of that, too. And, you know, they were playing games with it. I'm not sure what went wrong exactly, but, you know, it just, everything just crashed. You know, it just crashed. And that's just one form, Bitcoin. That's just one form. And I'm speaking from what I, you know, my experience with it. Now, it's coming back. And like I said, we are going to go to electronic money because, you know, another thing is, you know, every now and then people will hear people say money doesn't exist. The dollar is not worth anything, you know, in other countries. When I travel, it usually is. But I understand, I don't fully understand the underlying meaning of that terminology, but I know that it is so. I know that we're going to have to be aware and we're going to have to pay attention as things are transitioning, whether it's transitioning to, you know, cryptocurrency, whether or not, you know, now everybody's pushing silver and gold, and we don't know if that's going to have a value too. Like, so what do they do with it now? You know, so there's a lot going on, and the best that I can do without worrying about it, the transition, is to just try to keep up with, you know, the trend, you know, to look it up and see what they're saying about it. Because at the end of the day, the people that know are going to make the big moves first and get the best out of it, and then, you know, everybody else got to find out and move over into whatever it is that we're doing. But we know that the only thing that's going to hold its value consistently is going to be land. That I know. You know, as far as the currency thing, it's going to be different kinds and things are going to change drastically, especially in light of where we're going to end up as a country as it relates to, you know, whether or not we have any money or they're just providing air, you know, as far as, you know, the deficit and all of that. So we really don't know what's going on with the money that the country has. So it's something we all have to keep up with. I don't have the direct answers, but I'm aware, and I try to, you know, stay in line with it and follow it a little.
Now, one thing you just mentioned, and I think you stuck a pin in, when you said one thing that will stay constant is the land, the land itself. That's the one thing that will stay constant. And that brings me to, I remember years ago I went to this forum. It was through Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it was about, you know, ownership, purchasing land and things. So basically I bought this this game board, and the game board was like 200 notes, which somebody would say, why would you pay that much for a game board? Well, it's a financial game board, and the financial game board is how to get out, even though there's a book to the there's a book to the program called How to Get Out of the Rat Race. That's the same name of the game board as well. And the game board is actually built off of the same concept of Monopoly, but it has a twist to it. Now, Monopoly deals with, you know, procurement of the land, purchase of the land, purchasing your property, then making your way up to buying hotels and various tracts of land and farm and things like that. Okay, how to get out of the rat race is the same premises, but it's how to utilize your employment salaries and to operate that into the procurement of land, purchasing of land, and then you'll be able to continually buy land and acquire land, and then that income will come to the point where it will override the income that you're making from your contracted employment, and that's how you can get out of the rat race. So you said, you know, land, you know definitely that the land is a number one form of currency, money, that is constant. That's the foundation. So and also you talked about the movement of the money in people's 401k and things of that nature. I know when I was working and I had the 401k and that sucker was kapui, and I was like, oh my God, we didn't have the option to move anything. So for a company to have the option of being able to reallocate and move things around on your own, that's great. But would it be a good idea for one to remove their funds from that administrative of the employer and start learning how to trade themselves or what commodities to be able to put their funding into for growth?
Well, yes. That's what I did, but I did not have to take it from, you know, the company, because at the time when I was there, you know, they paid up to 6%, and that's what I put in. So, of course, it was to my advantage to keep it with, and I don't mind saying that the company was Fidelity, and keep it with Fidelity. Well, when I'm not with the company anymore, it's like having a relationship with a bank. I'm still attached to Fidelity. I'm not with the company anymore, but I still have Fidelity. So I have control to move it everywhere I wanted. Everything was built on what AT&T wanted to, you know, how they were allocating, and most of them was subsidiaries, AT&T companies, of course. So they're taking my money that I work for every day, and they're still making more money off of it. So the thing is that, you know, you can, most of the companies will let you. Now, like I said earlier, that, you know, some of the other companies, private companies, they're big companies, but they're private. I want to say that possibly Procter & Gamble is one where their employees' shares are only Procter & Gamble, you know, which isn't bad. It's a giant. It's a big company, so you can get something out of it. But in that particular instance, someone there could not move their stuff where they want to. I don't even know what the rules are about taking it. But at any time, you can always take your money and move it, but you're going to be penalized, you know, if you do, depending on how you move it. If you're going to spend it, if you're going to move it from one investment to another one, I don't think that there's going to be a big penalty, but, you know, there's a lot of rules around, you know, taking the money out. And so you got to know what you're doing when you do that, because I did mention that, you know, I lived off of it. So, you know, you got to talk to your tax professionals and things like that before, you know, you move the money. And like you said, I mentioned land before you mentioned land. I also remember that I went to my financial advisor, you know, when my daughter was about to go to college, and I says, you know, the kids, they got some land, and, you know, and I was saying, do you think I should sell it and, like, split it up and save it for their college fund or something? And he said, no, they're not making any more land. He said, you sell it, you might not get any more, and they might not get any more. He said, you don't sell land. You hold on to it. You let it stay in the family. So, you know, he told me that probably about 15 years ago, and I never forgot that. You know, so that's one thing we know is always going to be valuable. You know, the market goes up and down, you know, and I'm sure that some people are thinking about that. But, you know, yeah, when it does, when we had the bust in 2008, I wouldn't look at my statements. because I saw everybody else come to work with tears in their eyes and all stressed out. So I wouldn't look at my statements. And a couple of years went by and everything was fine, probably less than a couple of years. Everything was fine. I don't know what kind of damage I got hit with when the market crashed a couple of years ago. And the professionals are talking about another crash coming. But one thing that I know, you know, behavioral-wise, a lot of rich people are rich because of the market, and they plan to continue to get rich because of the market. So even when it crashes, believe me, it comes back. You know, you just got to not be stressed about it and hope that it doesn't happen, you know, at the wrong time, because there's a lot of people, powerful people, that depend on all of that. So it goes down for a little while. They'll get help. You know, they'll bring it back up. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we just need to always have positive thoughts about money. You know, if you're interested in starting a new business, you know, I urge you to make it a family conversation, number one, you know, if you're in a family situation. But think about businesses, you know, that may be recession-proof. Think about business that may be pandemic-proof. We've all, with our own eyes, seen, you know, what the situation has brought, you know, brought us through, but we also can see who's making money and who isn't. You know, another thing that's very, very important, it's not all time, all the time, all about just the money. What feeds your soul? You know, what is your purpose? What do you want to do? You know, what feeds your soul that you can make money off of? You know, even if it's that something that you would do for free, you know, you can, sometimes the things that you don't mind doing for free can be monetized, you know, and you can make money off of it. You know, we've said this word, we talk about it, you know, we hear money is the root of all evil. Yes, we know that it makes people do things that they shouldn't do. But really, when you think about it, money is sexy. It makes us feel good. It gives us a sense of comfort. You know, however, you know, the real or not real that we think it is, but it does put us in a good headspace. But we have to lead that. We have to already be in a good headspace about it and be positive about it. You know, a lot of habits or must-dos, when you think about this, and we're on it, you know, we know that we're on the financial subject. And a lot of people really don't know that you don't have to be an employee of Microsoft, Tesla, Delta Airlines, Netflix, or Amazon to be an owner of any one of these business giants. You know, and that's just a few. There's so many other ones that are not, you know, household names. Those just happen to be household names. And if you have young people and you know, that you talk to about serious stuff, whether they're in the house with you or outside of the house with you, ask them some questions about business. They will tell you what's up and coming, and they will tell you why, believe it or not. They know. I know I get a lot of tips, you know, or get some hints, you know, from my young adults, you know, because they're social media. They look up things. They talk about things. So they know some things that we don't know, you know. My son told me 3 years ago to buy some Tesla when it was at $148, and I was like, I don't have that. And he said, sell something and buy it. And I didn't. But then when it got to $289, 6 months later, I brought it. You know, it was at $289 because it was moving fast. I was afraid. Well, back in March, it got up to $900 a share. $900 a share. You know, so, you know, I know what they do. You know, I know they're going to be around a while. I know that they got plans to expand and, you know, be around, be a giant, even more of a giant than they are now. But, you know, that wasn't a bad payday. It ended up, you know, yielding like $40,000. You know, if I'd have listened sooner, you know, I would have made more. But, you know, that's just one thing, and it goes up and down. But for the most part, it's holding its own. You know, another thing, you know, that you want to make a habit is grow your circle of financial resources. And that looks like you know, listening to some podcasts if you see them, Googling some things to look at it. Depending on what phone you have, a lot of these phones have like a stock app on it that comes on the, I know it comes on the Apple phone automatically.
Yes.
If I want to know how much something is, very quickly, I can just, you know, type it in and it'll tell me what it is. You know, if I want to know how much a particular stock is. So, you know, you want to grow, you know, you want to make it a habit to kind of have it your mindset, not be obsessed, but, you know, I spend time on it like once a week. I call it Money Mondays. Once a week, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at my things and see what's going on. Unless I hear some other whispering or something on television, then I'll go and look at some things. So, you know, so that, those are must-dos that will help you move along, you know, not at warp speed. You know, there's classes that you can take, you know, $200-$300, just like everything else, you know. So create an action plan. After you ask yourself those questions and you think about your goals and what you want to get accomplished, you create an action plan. You know, you take the initiatives with focus. You know, if something doesn't work out and you know, bounce back from defeat. You know, there's no, we all had a first job, and it's probably not a lot of us that's still at that first job. So whatever happened at the first job, it didn't work out, you moved on. Whatever the reason is, you know, you went and got another one. You know, so that's called bouncing back from defeat. You know, work your strategy once you have your goals, and this is going to be something you're going to update, you know, frequently. You're going to change your thoughts as you learn more. So, you know, work your strategy and continue to ask questions. You know, continue to ask questions. Tamara, anything for me? And guys, everybody.
I was going to pause you right there because something just came up I wanted to just discuss. Now, considering the current climate that we're in, you know, we're in a pandemic, plandemic. A lot of people are unemployed. Currently, there were resources that were being extra resources that were available at one point in time with, you know, the unemployment compensation, and now that is currently, I guess, on sabbatical. I don't know. That portion is currently not being received. So people are kind of really struggling during this time period. But however, history has shown that during time periods such as this, this period of oppression, you know, what is it called? Recession. Periods of recession create wealth. You know, so we're talking about money machines at work, which is, you know, the machine starts with the person. It starts with the person. And I'm pretty sure, as you mentioned, the new normal is pulling out a gift from within and creating something that, you know, as you stated, one would do for free, and how to take that and turn it into a financial vehicle to be able to feed your children, take care of your household and things that in that nature, as well as accumulate wealth that could be passed down generationally. What would be a step? What could be some steps that one can look at just starting from the beginning? What could be some initial onset steps one should look at taking with during that process of entrepreneurship?
Well, the first step for entrepreneurship, not necessarily investing. I just want to make sure that I keep my answer separate, applicable. Tamara?
Yes. In reference to entrepreneurship, yes. Yeah, like, you know,
well,
set aside from the, you know, if they are in a position to invest and reallocate and things of that nature. Let's just say we have the vast majority of people that are, you know, like I said, unemployed, but they do have a gift they would like to, you know, get going and start a business and things of that nature. What would be some initial steps that one can look at taking to get the money machines working and flowing for them?
Okay. All right. Great. Well, the first thing is think about, again, the other question that I asked, what do you want to do? You know, what feeds your soul? Because, you know, sometimes you can start a business and make a good living off of a particular, you know, business, but it might not be something that you really want to do, but you know that money is in it, you know. So you want to get something that you like, at least like, you know, you don't have to love it. You want to get something that you like. And really, just like you said, and I'm going to expound on that now during this you know, we have heard at the beginning of this pandemic that it was going to be a lot of wealth that came out of it. And, you know, of course, you know, we didn't know how everything else was going to turn out. But if you're not, you know, engaged in getting extra wealth, you're getting a wealth of time. You know, there's some people, and shout out to anybody that's on this call that's still working or, you know, has an essential job. You know, thank you for all that you do. But then there's a lot of people that are not, you know, leaving the house anymore. They're not going to work, and it doesn't mean they don't have responsibilities. But this is a good time to focus on your what if. This is a good time to focus on your dreams. How do you dig back? You got to sit there and think sometimes. You know, some people know what they wanted to do since they was 12, 13, 14. Some of them have done it, and some of them haven't. And some of them have just forgotten. You know, we've all had dreams. Kids make believe, they have dreams, they want to be a nurse, they want to be this, they want to be that. But somewhere along the line of life, we get caught up in life and we forget. You know, now is a good time to pull those things out and also to have the research to see what it takes. A few years ago, you know, everything pretty much was brick and mortar, and you had to, you know, come up with $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 or talk a bank into giving it to you or whatever to start your business. These days, we have it a little bit easier. So wealth or, you know, starting your own business is a little bit closer and a little bit more realistic for a lot more people. You know, you want to think about your name. You want to think about what you want to do with it. What's your purpose? What you want to get out of it? You know, what is your mission, you know, with this business? Is it, are you going to be able to make enough money to sustain yourself, or are you going to have to work and just do this business part-time and still fulfill your dream? You know, there's a lot of different hats you could put on as it relates to that. But the main thing is, you know, you definitely want to be legal, meaning you want your credentials in place. You want to have your articles. You want to get your business license with the state that you're in. A lot of those things that you have to do not cost a lot of money. It varies from state to state. You know, you want to get your free EIN number from the government. You know, one of my concerns is with business and a lot of online businesses, and we see the recordings, and I make six figures. I'm sitting on the beach in Hawaii, and I'm making all of this money. Here's my account. I'm letting you look at it while I look at it. You know, right now we don't have it set up for business ourselves as a people for somebody to come along again and burn it down, right? Right. I mean, not really, not a whole business community, because we don't have one right now. But
right.
My concern is all of those people that's online talking about that, it would be so easy to go and check them out and see if they're paying taxes and see if they have a license for what they're doing. You know, I don't care if it's just a beauty salon. You're supposed to have, you know, a business license. But there's so many people that are operating, you know, under those other without the proper credentials. Now, what's worse? I mean, I don't know which worse. It's worse to be burnt down. But also, I don't want anybody to have to get in trouble with, you know, the government or IRS or whatever, because, you know, of all this money and you're not paying any taxes on it, and you're not, you know, you don't have the proper credentials to even be operating the business. So first thing is making sure that, you know, some people will tell you that you need more than what you really need, you know, because they're running a business, of course. So, you know, do the research, whatever business you want, see what you need. You definitely need to be, you know, registered with the state for business, have your name. You know, you don't want somebody else to buy your name up under you, you know, with that. So you need to buy that $20 or less, you know, to get licenses with your state. It's going to run anywhere from $100 to $200, depending on what state you're in. So a lot of those small steps will get you where you're going. Once you get, you know, the setup and have everything that you need, then you can focus on the issue at hand, is what your business is going to be. Some people can do those things themselves, and some people will feed into the economy. They'll let somebody else do that for them while they're working on their business, which is, you know, some of the things that Kelly Grand Consulting do. Those are some of the things I do. I help, you know, startup businesses and small businesses, you know, get everything straight, make sure, you know, they're legal, make sure their paperwork is straight, so they're not in the middle of growing their empire, and somebody stops them and say, hey, I need to see this and I need to see that. So it's really easy. It's easier than most people think. You know, it's all in your heart. It's all in your dreams. You know, you dream it, you can manifest it. You know, don't sleep on it. If you got one, then, you know, it's there for a reason, you know.
Okay. Would you like to open up for any questions at this time?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. Let me see if we can grab some callers and open up for some questions here. Let me see. Let me go ahead and take a caller number ending in 0086. Wait a minute. That's a different caller. Caller ended in 4744. Do you have any questions for Valerie Keller regarding money machines at work? Okay, so we have one shy group this evening. All right, so we're going to open up the caller number ending in 0555. Do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly, Money Machines at Work? Okay, let's see if we can find another one to speak to Valerie Kelly regarding Money Machines at Work. Caller number ending in 4684. All right, caller, do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly regarding Money Machines at Work? All right, I guess, you know, we always have some active listeners. Let's take caller number ending in 4381. Do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly regarding Money Machines at Work? All right. I guess everybody's going to be a little shy this evening. Let me see here. Let me try to see if I can get another caller. Caller number ending in 3639. Do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly?
Yes, I do.
All right, then.
I want to know. Yes, and I have other people who want to ask questions, but you haven't called their numbers. I want to know how much does Valerie charge for her services?
Well, it varies because, you know, people have different things going on. There are some people who have portfolios and they want to learn how to manage them, or they, you know, want a little assistance in managing them. There's people who are starting from square one. So it does vary. So depending on your situation, you know, I have 15-minute slots, 30-minute slots, and hour slots. And it can be, you know, people can, like, see me every month or whatever. So you can go on, I don't know if you're on Instagram. You know, you can go on Instagram, and my calendar is on there, and you can put in for, you know, a slot on there. Or you can send me a message when you make your appointment, mm-hmm. and then I can answer your question based on what you need.
Okay. I'm still starting a new business. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk. Definitely.
Yeah.
I want to make you probably have all the boxes checked, but we're just going
to
make sure. Okay.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So again,
4440 wants to talk.
You got it, my phone.
All right.
So you can I'm on Instagram. My Instagram, if you're on there, it's Money Machines at Work, M-O-N, one word, Money Machines, A-T-W-O-R-K. Okay?
Thank you, Valerie.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's see if we can catch any more calls, see if they have any questions for you, Valerie. Let's try caller number ending 7037. Let me call that person. Let me see here. Do you have any questions for Valerie Callery, Money Machines at Work?
Tamara?
Yes.
I have a 4-digit number. Somebody
Which
sent
one?
Me. Number ended
okay.
in 3639.
Okay, let me see if I can find that code. 3639. All right, here we go.
Okay, that was my
right.
call, but there's another question that someone wants to ask. If you didn't call their name, can I give you their
okay.
number?
Okay.
Last
yeah,
four
just
digits?
Give me the last 4 digits. Yes.
Okay, the last one moment. Gosh. I'm sorry. The last 4 digits are. Hold on, please. Sorry. 6276.
All right, let me try to find them. Okay. All right, here we go. 6276. You have any
Hi.
Questions for Valerie Keller, Money Machines at Work?
Yes. Yes. Hi. Thank you, ladies. Valerie, I think you gave out some valuable information this evening. I wanted to ask you a quick question. Since you're located in Atlanta, are you able to assist people in other states and maybe even offer not necessarily any tax information, because I know you mentioned getting an EIN number, which is important, you know, for even starting a business, but help people in other states that would probably and maybe even have state-specific information for their location, because I am outside of Georgia and I am interested in using your services.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you for considering me. Believe it or not, 30% of my current clients are outside the state of Georgia, you know, because, you know, with information sharing, you know, so everything, you know, of course, is okay with me because, you know, most of the things that I would have to discuss with clients can be over the phone. You know, so,
right.
Yes, I do have clients outside the state. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, like I All said, right. if you have access to Instagram, you know, and I will have be updated with a Facebook page off business page, but Instagram, I'm on Money Machines at Work. So you can go in there and be on my calendar. Get on my
okay.
calendar there, and we can talk.
Great.
And there's a space for you to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, beforehand or what you want to talk about. Okay. And how much time.
Okay.
But, you know, the calendar will allow you to select that. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
And there's someone else that would, yeah, thank you so much for the information. There's someone else that would like to ask a question. I have the last 4 digits of their phone number, if that's okay.
Okay. That'd be great.
Okay.
What's the last 4 digits?
4440.
Okay. Let me look for them. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let me look for 440, correct? All right. Oh, they are. All right, caller, thank you for tuning in. Do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly, Money Machines at Work?
I do. Mine is more around need. If someone has a rental property that they want to start doing Airbnb heavily, and that is a second stream or an additional stream of income, would they need to set up a business for that, or is it just more of a tax type of situation? What you do in that situation?
Okay. Well, you could look at it from a couple of ways. You know, of course, it's going to be an income stream for you. If you know, some people have Airbnbs, and I'm sure that some people include that income on their taxes and some people don't. But there's also instances where, you know, like it or not, that we're going to have to show income for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you want to do things like, you know, buy a home or buy another home or, you know, a car or something. So there's instances where you're going to need to show that income. You know, for something you might go and want to get a piece of property. So you, you know, and the information is reported also by Airbnb. So, but that is a very good option here in Georgia. I don't know where you are, but it's pretty common. A lot of people rely on it. And people that I know that have Airbnb, get a lot of business, you know, depending on your setup and everything, you know. And the pandemic, yes, it did affect Airbnb business to an extent because, of course, people didn't want, you know, anybody in the house with them or be in their houses, you know. But it bounced back pretty early, you know, and it's just that, you know, people are adjusting. They're cleaning accordingly. But that's a great idea. I know so many people that do it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I hope it works out. Tamara?
Yes, I'm here. We have our last 14 minutes. Do you have any more wisdom you would like to share with the audience regarding money machines at work?
I do, but I have one more person on at the number, the last four digits, 2613.
Okay. Everybody was quiet as a mouse at first. Okay, 2613. All right, caller, you're on the air. Do you have any questions for Valerie Kelly? Money machines at work.
Hi. No, first I would just like to say that I've worked with Kelly consultants, and it was a great experience. Like we said before, you know, during the pandemic, it hit a lot of people hard. But in my case, I was able to start a business with the help of Kelly Grant Consultants. And I started a trucking business. And I was all over the place, didn't know where to start first. But Valerie helped me out first with the business plan, very detail oriented, your to-do list, you know, prioritizing step by step so you don't fall into a hole. Like, again, how she said, getting your credentials. A lot of that paperwork is very tedious, and it can drive you crazy if you're not one with patience to really deal with it. But I can say that she really helped walk me through the process. And her fees was pretty reasonable, I can say. My question now is, I'm trying to get my son, who's 12 years old, in that mindset set of generational wealth. You know, he made a couple of dollars during the pandemic with his tutoring. You know, so he got a little $300-$400, but he wants to buy games. You know, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get him into, no, you're not buying any games. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. So my thing was, if anybody had any knowledge, how we can pull in our young people, because we didn't have this growing up. Because I'm sure if we did, a lot of us would be a lot further along than we are today.
Right.
You know, but as far as a 12-year-old, get him, it's not about the Wii U. It's not about games. I'm trying to get you to be a millionaire by the time you're 18, if not sooner. You know, I'm drilling that in his head. No. We're not spending.
Right, that delicate balance that's needed. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I actually, and thank you. Thank you for the kind words. And, thank you. I'm glad it was a good experience for you. So you're kind of in my head, because where I was going next is, you know, role modeling behavior. We can tell our young people whatever we want, because all we do is tell them, right? And so that's the way they see it. Some of it goes in one ear and out the other. What I think is that we should be role modeling. Role model what you know, and as you learn this, it can turn into a family project, you know. Our young people know more than you think they do about, you know, businesses. For instance, like you said, he wants to be into the game. So then challenge him. Say, who makes that? And so he'll find out who makes it. He can tell you probably without looking into it. Is it Microsoft? Who makes the games? And the next thing you do is you ask him, so what you going to do with that money? Don't you want to buy a piece of Xbox? Don't you want to be an owner of McDonald's? Don't you want a piece of these businesses? And you got to make it personal to him, even at 12. Yes, he wants games, but he can play games and own a piece of the business. So you tell him that every time somebody buys a game, that he's going to make some money. I mean, not literally every day, but potential money in due time so he can play the game and live off of the game. And that's what you have to do. You have to make it applicable to him. You have to make it make sense. You ask him the question. So who are the top gamers? They'll tell you. They'll tell you who are the top gamers, meaning, you know, that whatever, the PlayStation versus the Xbox. So you got to make it personal, and that's when you involve him. And then you while you're playing with your finances, you say, hey, come here. We can have a money date. We can really have a session here. 30 minutes. Let's talk about money. Let's see what we got going on. I'll show you what I got. You show me what you want. So I think that would be a good way to approach it. Like I said, my young people, they had their opinions when it was time for them to go and open up, their accounts, years ago. So, at the end of the day, mutual funds will yield us about 8 to 10%, a year. If you got a 401k, it's going to give you 5 to 8%, whatever you have in it. In a bank, well, we know that's going to give you 0.03%. So we don't want to rely, just on the bank. A lot of times we suffer due to the lack of strategy. So remember I said before, when you ask yourself those questions, come up with your strategy. Is it going to happen this weekend? Is it going to happen next week? Possibly not, but you can add to it and add to it. I suggest buy a notebook, and add to it. When you write down things and you hear things, then you put it all together, and that's when you make your action plan. We end up not getting the best results all the time, because, again, we don't have a strategy. In those cases, you can go to the experts. Financial literacy on some level is a must. We all know that banks are not the answer, and they should not be our only financial resource because they're not the answer, because they just pimp our money, So, I appreciate, everybody that came to listen. If, you have any questions, again, my Instagram is Money Machines at Work. My email, and then when you go on there, there's a calendar, on there. And also, I'll be providing tips and stuff on, on my platform as well, because, I just want you to be informed. Now, I also want to mention that I am gifting 15 private sessions to the first 15 people that schedule on my calendar, on my Instagram page. And it's going to be a free 15-minute session. Again, if you don't have a portfolio to discuss or anything like that, that doesn't mean that you can't ask questions. It doesn't mean that you can't, the most important part is that you start. And then some people are processors, so you might just have some questions, and that will be fine too. And if you want to, put the questions out there, either speak to me or, put them on my page, then, either way, again, I just want us all to be in the game. If that's something you're interested in, we need to get in the game.
And that's how you could be reached, correct?
My email is moneymachines@work@gmail.com. So that I told that either my email or my Instagram, All right.
Okay, and you said you have a Facebook in the works.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good deal. So you can be found on Instagram at Money Machines at Work, ATWRK, or through email. And give that email again.
moneymachines@work@gmail.com. So it's still one word, but it's Money Machines with the at sign, the squiggly A, work@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, once again, Val, I would like to thank you for coming on to speak to the Nationals regarding Money Machines at Work and ways that people can start stirring up their gifts and pull out their talents and get their business brand started. The consultation that you're offering, go ahead and get that appointment set up so you can at least have the, start trying to lay out the foundation for building your business, building your brand. If you already have a brand and you just need that extra push, that extra boost, in which direction should I go in, or am I on the right track, in the right direction? Go ahead and set your appointment for that as well. And just look at ways that you can continue to build streams of income, and well as increase your financial wealth for generations to come. this was great. Good information. I look forward to Kelly Grand Consultants' growth. We're in the same industry, so I'm always a big, you know, I have to admit I'm biased because she's my first cousin and I love her dearly. So I'm always looking for the growth in the of what's to come from Kelly Grand Consultants. Do you have some final words for us this evening, Valerie, before we close out?
Yes, I want to leave everybody with, you know, whatever your reason is for attending this call. Number one, I thank you. I appreciate it. But, you know, and this is my belief. It doesn't mean that it's everybody else's, but I don't believe that, you know, I was put here just to have a family, you know, and work and things. You know, I was sent here for a particular mission. I don't really think it matters when the light bulb comes on, as long as it comes on, because you fulfilled your obligation other than, you know, the most common. But think about it. If you leave this call this evening and you don't have any thoughts about a potential business or, you know, growing or spending a little bit more time and expanding your financial literacy, because you're going to wish you had when you, you know, 65, 70, whatever, you know, you want to leave a legacy. And a legacy don't always have to be just an insurance policy. You know, you want to leave a legacy of having the people that you're going to leave behind learn how to continue to grow the money that you started them with, you know, the tools that you gave them to do it, you know, whether it comes to fruition, you know, when I'm here or not. You know, I got three grandsons, you know, 1, 7, and 8, and they all have portfolios, you know, so it's key. Who knows? I'd love to see what it's going to, you know, what it's going to turn out to be. But, you know, if you don't have a dream, think about it. Everybody's got one. Just spend some time thinking about something you would want to do. You know, because no one wants to be in a position where your job can just be snatched up funded from up under you just because they feel like it. You know, you want to be able to say, okay, fine, I'll go do my other gig then. Fine. You know, so I just want us to, you know, to think forward, you know, think strategic. You know, we have a lot of great opportunities to learn, and, you know, and it is important. Do I lose sleep over it? No. Do I worry about money? No. But I think about it. And I think about how to be strategic and how to protect myself and my family. But once again, you know, those of you that are starting businesses, make sure that you, when you go and get your name, that you pay attention to what the three little letters behind it, whether the corp or the limited liability or those things. Look it up, you know, because they have a meaning and they make a difference in your title of your name. I just wanted to add that. Again, I thank everybody so much for taking time out of your busy evening to hear what I had to say, and I hope that you got some good information tonight. I thank you again, Tamara, and I thank everyone
thank
else for
you.
Joining me.
Yes,
right.
Thank you for tuning
to
in to State of the
soon.
Nationals. And don't forget to continue
welcome.
To tune in every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, United Republic of Morocco. Now, if you would like to be a guest on State of the Nationals, you can email me at UnitedRepublicofMorocco@protonmail.com. Once again, thank you and have a good night. Mm-hmm.